gets all the encouragement they need, as some start trying to light the candles straight away, and I watch them melt them, the clumsy rush doing them no good. I look over as Enzo wipes a hand across the tips of the candles in front of him, lighting them all perfectly before leaning back in his seat and shrugging.
"Come on, you can do this. Then we can go and get food,"
he says, waiting for me, and it's kind of sweet from the bad boy who pretends to be asshole-like. I call my firemark and concentrate on lighting just the candles. I open my eyes to see nothing has happened. Maybe I was thinking too small.
"Mackenzie, focus on the tips of the candles and just lighting those. The idea isn't to just think fire, it's to focus on what you want the fire to do. Fire can be controlled with your mind before you let it out with your mark."
Enzo whispers gently, and I give him a thankful look. I hover my hand over the first candle and imagine the wick catching fire as I call my mark. When I open my eyes, the candle is lit, and I quickly do the others.
"Thank you,"
I say as Enzo stands up and smirks down at me.
"It was nothing. I just want food and not to be sitting here all day, or to have to stop you from setting the room on fire again,"
he says and walks out. I laugh and follow him out, seeing Miss Tinder nod at me as she looks at my candles.
"Impressive, Miss Crow,"
she comments, and then looks back at the paperwork in front of her. When I walk out of the classroom, I see Stella talking to Enzo. They are standing closely together, and I watch in disgust when she places both her perfectly manicured hands on his chest. I want to snap the purple-tipped nails straight off her. Enzo steps back, but unfortunately for him, there's a wall behind his back, and she boxes him in as she moves closer again. They are arguing, and I don't think as I walk over, stepping next to Enzo and reaching a hand to the side of his head and pulling him to look at me.
"Hey, baby,"
I say, and then kiss him.
"What the hell?"
I hear Stella say, but everything else is a blur as Enzo's hand slides into my hair as he twists us around and presses me into the wall with his body as he kisses me harder. His lips devour my own as I slide my hands into his hair, and he groans.
"Miss Crow,"
I hear my name being shouted from down the corridor.
"You've got to be fucking kidding me,"
Enzo mutters against my lips. He pulls away, and we turn to face Mr. Daniels.
"Seeing as you finished so early, we can squeeze in another training session. Training room, 15 minutes,
he says, and then turns to head back down the corridor. My stomach growls as if in protest. Fuck's sake.
"Come on, let's quickly grab you a sandwich or something before he throws you on your ass,"
Enzo offers, tugging me along the corridor in the opposite direction, without waiting for my answer. I turn back and see a calculating look on Stella's face as she looks between Mr. Daniels, Enzo, and me. I shudder, feeling a chill roll through my body. I turn back and walk with Enzo. Time to eat as much food as humanly possible in 10 minutes, I suppose. Chapter 33. Kenzie. The dim lighting in the room does nothing to hide the predatory look on his face as he stalks around me, moving in a circle. I keep trying to move with him, to keep my eyes on him and my back away, but he's just too quick. He shoots flames to my left, and I jump to my right, narrowly avoiding the hit. I try to counter with air, calling on my mark. I aim low, hoping to strike him off balance. He blocks my attack with a simple swipe of his hand. A cool jet of water flows from his right hand. He doesn't aim it at me, but at the floor. I stare at him in confusion, when suddenly the water begins to cool and freeze over. I struggle not to slide across it. I lift my left hand and command fire, using fire's heat to melt the ice. The steam creates a wall between us. I try to use it as a screen to attack, but he simply uses his air ability to clear his vision again. I back up a few steps to keep out of reach, but he pounces, crossing the space between us. Within seconds, I'm pinned down onto the blue map by his weight. I struggle to get loose, completely forgetting to use my magic in order to assist me.
"Miss Crow," he whispers softly in my ear, his deep voice sending shivers right through me.
"Kenzie," I mumble.
"What?"
he asks. "Please, call me Kenzie," I whisper.
"Miss Kenzie Crow,"
he utters softly, his cool breath against my neck making me shiver.
"Yes,"
I whisper, looking up. I catch the heated look in his green eyes.
"You would be dead 6 times over if I was really trying."
I laugh, but it's a somewhat strangled sound. I look away from his heated stare, cutting off the temptation at least as much as possible while he's all over me. My thoughts about Mr. Daniels are going to kill me. I wriggle slightly, trying to see if there is any chance of getting him off me without the use of magic. No dice. I think about his advice. Don't use magic the way they expect you to. Surprising them is half the battle, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's pretty exact, I'm sure. The blah blahs is definitely how his speech ended. A stroke of genius hits me, and a smile takes over my face.
"What are you thinking, Miss Crow?"
he asks softly.
"Nothing."
The word flies out of my mouth, and I'm sure I look guilty. I concentrate, while attempting to look like I am not concentrating, which is apparently ridiculously hard to pull off, as I feel his body vibrating with laughter above me. I call on my technomancy mark. The lights start to flicker above us.
"Flickering lights, really?"
he questions, the amusement thick in his voice. I cut the lights off completely and scream as I use my transmutation to change my eyes into a wolf's eyes. Night vision. I impress myself sometimes.
"Shit. Was that not you?"
he asks. I use the moment of concern against him and twist out from underneath him, blasting him with air to help me with just the lift needed to escape. In the darkness, I have the upper hand. I use my water ability to use his own tricks against him, covering the whole floor in ice. I kick my shoes off and heat my feet with my fire so I can move effectively around without slipping. I stalk around him in a circle. Now he is the prey, and I'm the predator. I launch at him, feeling the animal-like dexterity in me aid my attack. He dodges at the last possible moment and jabs a fist into my side. Fuck! I back up a few paces and circle him again. Shit, how did he know I was there?
"Move lighter on your feet, Miss Crow," he says softly.
Is he a freaking mind reader? Is it a secret bonus ability or something? I try to move quieter.
"Better," he says.
He lashes out and grabs hold of me, pulling me to him before spinning us around and planting me against the wall.
"But not good enough," he murmurs into my ear.
The tone in his voice is so seductive. I swear it has to be on purpose. I lick my lips, seeing as they feel so suddenly dry. I'm so freaking stupid. He's so unbelievably perfect, and here I am just fawning over him. Idiot.
"Excuse me, Miss Crow."
Did I say that out loud? Wait, how much of that did I just say out loud?
Just the word idiot. Why, what else were you thinking?
His body seems to move even closer up to mine. Fuck. Nothing. I stumble the word out.
"It doesn't seem like nothing. You wouldn't be lying to me, would you, Kenzie?"
The way he says my first name, as if on an exhale of breath. Shit. Bad thoughts. Bad, bad thoughts.
"Kenzie,"
he repeats softly. I tilt my head up, seeing him perfectly in the dark thanks to my wolf eyesight. I focus and bring my eyes back to normal. If I see him, I won't be able to do this. With my eyes back to normal, I can't see him at all, but I know exactly where he is. I lean up, closing the gap between us, and press my lips against his. At first, nothing. He seems too stunned to react. I'm about to pull back and apologize for completely misreading the situation when he returns the kiss. A satisfied groan coming from him when I push myself up closer against him. His hand snakes into my hair, pulling it from the ponytail and letting it down. I move my hands up his shirt, feeling across the hard planes of his chest. He bites my bottom lip, and I moan softly, opening my mouth and deepening the kiss. He seems to come undone, tugging at my shirt. It comes off. His follows straight after it. It seems like a desperate rush on both our parts. The tension of the past few weeks finally getting to us. It can't be ignored anymore. I need this, right now. I go for his jogging bottoms, sliding them down his toned legs. He lifts me up and pins me against the wall. I wrap my legs around him, feeling him pressed right up against me. He presses a kiss against my neck before biting down. Fuck, I need out of my leggings, right now. I reach a hand down to start to pull them off, when light shines into the room from the door. The now open door. Fuck. He springs back from me, and we stare at the light from the door like deer in headlights. The collision tumbling closer and closer, but we can't look away as we're frozen in place. I can't see the face of the person, but I'd know that body anywhere.
East, it's not
what it looks like. I think it's exactly what it looks like,
he snaps, cutting my words off. He turns back away from the room.
Easton!
I call after him. I grab my shirt, pulling it over my head as I race after him. He shuts the door after him. I pull it open and dart out into the hall. I look around, but he has already darted away. Fuck. Without a backwards glance at Mr. Daniels, I run off in what I hope is the direction East left in, knowing I can't let him run off after seeing that. Especially not after our conversation this morning, damn it. I spot him sitting on the bottom step of the stairs, with people walking past him as they rush to their classes. He looks up at me as I walk over, stopping in front of him.
East,
I start to say, but stop, not knowing what to say. I'm not sorry for what happened between me and Mr. Daniels, but I'm sorry I didn't tell East how I was feeling about him.
I don't care that you like him, Kenz. I care that you didn't tell me. I thought you would tell me first before you sleep with someone else,
he says gently. I expected him to be angry at me, not this. This is worse because I feel guilty. I haven't slept with him, and that just happened, I explained, and he nods, standing up and coming over to me.
I mean, after this morning, I guess I just need some time to think, Kenz.
He replies and walks around me, turning around as I follow him with my eyes, watching him walk down the corridor, feeling like my heart is hurting more with every step he takes away from me. Chapter 34. Kenzie.
Stupid damn phone,
I mutter as I try to turn the thing on as I walk through the woods and back to the cabin after my lessons. It's getting darker every day, and I can barely see where I'm going. I groan and slide it into my back pocket, knowing I'm more frustrated about everything else in my life than my phone. Enzo is avoiding me since the kiss in the hallway. I haven't seen Mr. Daniels since we got hot and heavy in training yesterday. East is still mad at me. Ryan is an accomplice in a murder, and I won't speak to Kelly until she apologizes for lying to me. The twins are the only ones who aren't annoyed at me, but I haven't seen them much since what happened yesterday with Mr. Daniels. I have a feeling East told them, by the awkward looks I got over the breakfast table this morning.
Kenny!
My brother's voice says from the shadows of the trees to the right of me, and I nearly jump out of my skin.
Ryan, what the hell?
I ask, watching as he steps into the moonlight, followed by the rebel girl I saw before, and an older man. It doesn't shock me like it should to see them all together, but there's still a sting that my brother would betray me like this. No matter what Kelly says, he is betraying me.
Kenny, I need you to come with me,
he says, using the stupid childhood nickname and making my heart hurt as I look him over. Ryan has dark hair that is cut short, with a slight beard, and a massive build from the training I know he does. He is paler than I am, but we look so similar, other than his eyes, which are green compared to my blue.
Why, are you working with the rebels as well as fucking my best friend?
I ask, and he flinches ever so slightly. I'm sure Kelly told him I knew, but now I'm thankful I didn't tell her about hearing any more of their conversation.
We should just knock her out. We don't need to ask,
the girl next to Ryan says, and I watch as he glares down at her.
No, he said I could do this my way, and this is my way. She will come with us when she understands.
Ryan practically growls at the girl, and I take a step back, his eyes turning to watch me as a branch cracks under my shoes.
Don't run. There are 20 rebels around you, Kenny. Let me explain,
he tells me, but I watch the other guy he was with move closer, and he's smiling at me in a creepy way, just as I notice the rope he has in his hands.
Explain what? Explain that you and Kelly are working for the rebels, that you want to kidnap me?
I already know, I spit out, and Ryan shakes his head.
It's not like that. Kelly didn't...
I cut him off by taking another step, and imagining my fire mark. I need to make a big fire, and hopefully someone will see it. If I can mix fire and air, setting the trees on fire should work.
She did, and is just as bad as you. Who killed Mr. Layan? Who was it that you helped dump his body at the bottom of those stairs?
I ask, and he looks shocked for a second.
Enough of this. We don't have time, the girl says and steps forward, just as I call my fire mark.
I don't want to hurt Ryan, but this is bigger than my love for my brother. I can't just let him be stupid and get myself kidnapped. I lift my hands and imagine the giant fireball, and then call my air mark like I did on the first day. The effect is instant with the fire and air mixing together. I watch as three massive fire tornadoes swirl towards my brother and his friends. Ryan's eyes meet mine in a brief gap between the fire, and he shakes his head at me like he is disappointed in me, before calling his watermark and making a wall of water in front of him. It's almost ironic, because that's how I feel about him. I don't think about it anymore as I turn and run towards the school, my heart pounding against my chest when I look around. I can't see anyone else, so I'm hoping Ryan was bluffing.
Run, little marked. I like to play catch.
I hear the girl laugh behind me, her voice sounding close. I turn and regret it when I see her inches away from me, and I scream as she hits me with her air mark, sending me flying into a tree and smacking my side against it. I call my protection mark, holding up my hands and imagining the shield as she walks over. When she laughs, I place my hand on the ground, calling my watermark and imagining ice. She slips, not expecting it, giving me the second I need to stand up. I freeze her to the ground before I walk a few steps back, and place both of my hands on the ground, calling my earth mark. I'm lucky she doesn't have the fire mark, as she struggles to get out of the ice. I imagine the ground opening, praying my earth mark will respond to me now. I watch as she sinks into a deep hole I create, hearing her scream. I walk over, looking down at her in the hole, seeing that she is knocked out. I turn and run. Breathing a sigh of relief when I see the academy, I slow down slightly. There is no one around like I expected there to be. I don't stop running completely, knowing I'll be safer inside.
Stop!
a voice calls from behind me, just before I can get to the back doors of the school. I turn around, seeing a man I've seen so many times before in photos around my family home. But he's meant to be dead.
"Aren't you going to stop and say hello to your father, Mackenzie?"
he questions. I look into the eyes of my mum's dead husband, the one that died when I was a baby, the one she mourns every day, and a man that could very well be my father, with his black hair and tanned skin. I go to reply when I feel something hard slam against the side of my head and feel myself falling. The last thing I see is my brother running over to me as he shouts something before everything goes black. This has been an Audible Inc. production of Marked by Power, Book 1 of the Marked series. Written by C.C. Rose and G. Bailey. Narrated by Billy Fulford Brown, Joshua Akehurst, Ewan Goddard, Jack Hawkins, Joe Jameson, and Leon Williams. Producer, Mike Charzuk. Copyright, 2017, C.C. Rose and G. Bailey. Production copyright, 2018, by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Limited.
If you enjoyed this audiobook, be sure to get more books in the Marked series today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.